This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We have a liftoff.
Flip, flip, flip on this burger.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Dirty Show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place. There he is staring at you right there on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler Milner. The latest is, if you missed, still got a little time here before this Red Sox and Yankees game starts. If you missed, we did a little best bets, T-Mill's best bets earlier. Go to @T-Mill Real Deal to find out the picks, just because we got some early starts here in the MLB playoffs. We'll get to that in a second. But
What do you think that T-Mill staring at the camera, like when you see that, do you think that's scary? Do you think it's sexy? Do you think it's cool? Do you think it's like
I think it's ultra
funny
focused.
Guy, like what do you think folks think at home?
Like, I feel like he's staring down somebody that is in his crouch position with a one hanging down, the way that somebody is.
Oh, like they're catching?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
so he's pitching in the big leagues?
That's what he looks. He looks like he's focused, staring in to get the signal. He looks like he told the guy, to hell with pitch comp. I want the signal.
I think there's a real hard-ass look.
That is.
About to come right up underneath your chin with some heat.
I mean, why?
Gonna go Nolan Ryan on your ass.
Where does he come up with this?
I mean, I was nervous the whole
way. A high heater. What made y'all nervous?
I was nervous the whole way.
There ain't no way you didn't do that on purpose, and there's no way that you don't know what the hell.
Don't know what I just said that made you nervous. Go back and listen to it.
Hopefully you've got the Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature.
I was channeling my inner pitcher personality that Ron was laying out, getting that Nolan Ryan going.
I mean, you're disgusting.
What? I didn't do anything.
From the words of Guy Gene, T Mill being T Mill.
I mean, it's too much. It's too much.
It's just right.
Right
underneath that chin.
I mean, you're just
high heat.
You're just about as nasty as it gets. It really looks like he needs the S slapped out of him from the text line.
One way to put it.
You ain't going to do it, but maybe I do.
I was thinking maybe they were going to smack your ass.
Twin Peaks, somebody walks up and slaps a piss.
Well, I don't think it necessarily means the face.
Better be a good one.
Oh, slap the hell out of the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fiery.
Get a lot of underwear.
Chill out, Mel.
Hey, he just turned around and popped that left cheek a bit.
Hadn't twerked for y'all in a minute. Sorry about that.
Hey, he hiked that leg and popped that left cheek on him, boy.
Coming up now. This is important news that we will continue to monitor through the week. But if we're hearing this already on a Tuesday, there's a sign that this is probably likely to happen. No other way to transition. But Brian Wacker, who covers the Ravens for the NFL at the Baltimore Sun, he said Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson could be out up to 2 to 3 weeks and is likely to miss Sunday's game against the visiting Houston Texans with a hamstring injury. Two sources direct knowledge of the situation confirmed that to Brian Wacker and the Baltimore Sun, and that would mean Cooper Rush would be in line to get the start. He finished the last quarter for the Ravens, and I can tell you, watching that final quarter, their offense looked like hell. Now they had waved the white flag at that point, as Derrick Henry didn't come off the sideline either. But obviously, Clint, this is a much different Ravens team and a much different game with Lamar Jackson out of it.
Yeah, look, I mean, the football gods are obviously shining in Houston. I mean, your 1-3 football team that's going to Baltimore looks like it's going to be a rough stretch, and all of a sudden, you know, they're, you know, three or four of their top five players are injured and already declared not going to play. And so, you know, this is really, really good for Houston. But I can't help but the football guy in me to just think about the situation beyond Brian Wacker. Great name, by the way. How does Baltimore have Cooper Rush as their backup quarterback?
It is a weird situation. Like, Davis Mills makes sense.
Yes.
He's CJ's backup.
Yes.
You don't have to change the offense a lot.
In today's world where there are a dime a dozen from just athletic quarterbacks that are 6'2 or bigger, that can throw it around the park a little bit. I'm not even talking about an NFL. I'm not even talking about like an elite NFL level. I'm just talking about a guy that has a similar skill set to Lamar Jackson, that's athletic and has a right arm or a left arm if he's left-handed, like can move around. Like to where when he does get injured, you don't completely change your offense. I mean, right now, I look at it and I go, I mean, look, thank the good Lord. I mean, the Texans, I mean, all you got to do is get your mind right to stop the running attack. They still have their offensive line healthy, I believe, with the exception of maybe Big Stanley on the end at left tackle.
He's had an ankle, yeah.
But I mean, they got their running backs. They've got their O line. They're gonna get downhill. They're gonna try to run game and shorten the game. I get it. But it would be ideal for the Baltimore Ravens to have a quarterback that they could get on the edge and you know threaten the field to some degree as an athlete, given who their starter is, and they're going to roll Cooper Rush out there. Like, that's wild to me, man. But anyway, the football gods are shining on the Texans, and this looks like one all of a sudden that the Texans can get.
Yeah, and again, we're not going to get too crazy and lose it a bit, but at the very least, if Lamar is not playing, this absolutely would change the way you look at this game and the expectations for the Texans in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. You go into the game with no Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden this is a game where, again, your approach offensively could potentially look a lot like what it looked like this weekend against the Titans. You know, I think there was a conservative approach to it's okay to kick field goals, it's okay to punt. At some point in time, we're going to score a couple of touchdowns, and it's going to be enough to win the game. I mean, you're talking about a defense that statistically is one of the worst in the league. Now, they played some great offenses, but they're one of the worst in the league in terms of how many points they're giving up per game in Baltimore. So you do feel like you can move the football, and then no Lamar Jackson offensively. You got to feel like you can stymie this offense and keep the scoring down, given that you are the best scoring defense in football right now. So, I think the game plan changes drastically. You go in this game normally and you feel like, hey, man, we got to have our best offensive game. We've got to score points. We've got to go for it on fourth down. We've got to be really good offensively, sustain drives and score points to keep up with Lamar. All of a sudden, hey, all we got to do is stop the run and not turn it over, and we feel like we got a chance to win one on the road.
And they're missing on that side Roquan Smith.
Yep.
Nnamdi Asomugha. A couple of other linemen up front. Hell, they had four defensive linemen out in that last game. That play, Kyle Van Noy has missed the last couple of games. They're missing Marlon Humphrey. They're missing, as you said, Medibike. They're missing a lot of guys, even on that side of the ball. So it should change the expectations of this game.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, MLB playoffs. The Tigers and Guardians had a really entertaining game. I would say soon to be Tarik Skubal, soon to be back-to-back Cy Young Award winner, had an amazing game. He went 7 2/3 with 14 strikeouts as he got the win 2-1, and it was a nail biter at the end. But the Tigers were able to get out of it, and they lead that series 1-0. Can close it up in game 2. Padres, they go to Wrigley, they lose to the Cubs. We got the Red Sox going right now. They lose 3-1. By the way, Padres, they ain't close to the playoffs. Padres and Cubs, Red Sox, Yankees right now, later on Reds and Dodgers. Kyle Tucker played earlier, 0-3. Alex Bregman is literally at the plate right now for the Red Sox. I feel like I know the answer from the man to my right. I don't know that I know the answer from the man across the window. Alex Bregman leads off with a hit, by the way. Do you finding yourself rooting for those two guys? Are you rooting, hoping that they do well, rooting for Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker, even though they're in different uniforms?
I'm rooting for Bregman. I could give two rips about Tucker.
Boston.
I'm just being honest. I don't have any reason. I don't dislike the guy. I just never have. I mean, look, he's a good baseball player, but he just doesn't move me much.
There was not an Bregman emotional connection to you.
Yeah, no, Bregman's the one that I would like to see do well, and I would like to, especially given that the Astros aren't involved in the playoffs, I would like to see Bregman do well and do his thing. So, yeah, just personally, Tucker's never done much for me, but Breggy, yeah, I'd like to see some success in the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you think either one of those having really good playoff performances will piss off the fan base? Again, I don't know about Tucker, because I don't think they were ever really thinking they were going to – like, I think fans had accepted that Kyle Tucker wasn't going to come back. I think there was a feeling that they maybe had the ability to bring Bregman back. And if Bregman goes off in this postseason somehow, I could see that being a potential thing that people are looking at Jim Crane and Dana Brown, the very confident Dana Brown. I could see people looking at them funky. If Alex Bregman has a really good postseason.
Yeah, I think the only thing that saves him is Paredes came over and was having a hell of a year. If he wouldn't have got injured, he may have had a – I don't know what the numbers ended up for Bregman, but he may have had been on track to have a better year than Bregman. And then you make a deal for Correa, and you got Correa over there. So yeah. I think that'll silence the critics a bit no matter what. But yeah, there'll always be somebody that when a former Astro has a good year, it's like, see, I told you so.
Yeah, told you so, Dana. Sitting over there, had to trade Correa. Wouldn't have to trade all that stuff. You'd have just paid him. Now you're paying Correa anyway. By the way, someone texted in, if I said Namde Asamoah.
You did.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I apologize to Kerry Washington's husband. Namde Madubuike.
I thought you meant Madubuike. That's why I followed up with it.
Yeah, okay.
But you looked at me like I was cross-eyed or something.
I don't know.
You said Asamoah because I wasn't real sure that's who you were.
When I get Namde, it could go either one here.
Well, I forget Madubuike. He left A&M and changed his first name.
Yeah, from Justin. Yeah. Namde Madubuike. When I hear Namde, I don't know. My mind says Asamoah, I think. Maybe 25% of the time.
Understandable.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder on the text line.
You know, that text line will always keep you right now.
I know Greg's out there keeping notes right there. I know he is. All right. That's the latest as we'll continue to follow Major League Baseball playoffs off and running.
5 o'clock fire.
Long throw by Tagovailoa. Concern is obviously Tyreek Hill has made a big impact tonight. Picked up, it's not something that anybody wants to see. Tyreek Hill loaded on a cart, went at the Jets sideline. The Jets trainers very quickly rushed over there, made the catch, and his left leg came down awkwardly. It's an uncomfortable looking injury here.
Uncomfortable, my ass.
Uncomfortable.
I'm going to be honest with you. If you've listened to this, over the last 5+ years, I can't do injuries. Can't do it. Won't watch it. And I'm not proud of this, But I do, for my job, would like it explained to me what happened. So my wife and child watch it, and they give me the explanation on what happened. And the explanation that Courtney and Trey gave me of the injury sounded awful. I watched Courtney sit there and watch it, and she jumped off.
Right.
I'm like, oh, good, yep, can't do it.
Well, how did they?
The way she described it was like somebody was holding his leg as he was still trying to move forward. I know Tyler watched it, and then that leg went the opposite way.
A way it shouldn't have.
A way it shouldn't have been. And did it get stuck? Did it stay there? They had to pop that sucker. Yeah, they had to pop that sucker back into it. Sounds very much like the Gordon Hayward injury, Dax injury. Dax got stuck up there. Oh, I can't do it, Doug.
Old Bridget did that back in the day.
Who?
Bridget.
Falcone?
Former producer of The Drive / Clint Sterner in the show.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's gross. I can't
What
do
the
it,
hell
man.
Was she doing?
I'm not even sure, but she dislocated.
I mean, you didn't think to ask that. Well, hey, you dislocated your neck.
She told me, but
doing?
I can't remember. That was forever ago. But no, she dislocated and tore like 3 or 4 different ligaments all at once.
Wow.
By the way, it's dislocated. He has also torn an ACL. I think it sounds tank-like almost with the amount of ligaments that he may have torn. And that's an interesting one to watch because Clint, he's built on his speed and quickness. He's 31, right? I mean, you look at that. It's probably, I mean, we're looking at maybe seeing him again at 33, something like that. And you wonder, you know, with the element that is his game, how different that looks when he comes back. There's a serious question of, is Tyreek Hill going to be anything close to what he was when we last saw him? And he was playing his best game of the season.
Yeah,
last
I mean, time. there's so much stacked against him, right? I mean, when you look at it, it's a gruesome injury that's hard to return from. As you mentioned, his game is just predicated on twitch and explosion. And then also you look at it, I don't know Tyreek Hill, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's probably not the most disciplined fella out there from a standpoint of making sure that he's doing everything right and he's eating everything right and everything is on time and it's good. So, I mean, at 25, 26 – an injury is a little easier to overcome for a guy like that.
I think he's a little loose with the condoms, but I think he does get after it with the. I think he's kind of got that T.O. in him where you know T.O. is.
Right.
But you know he works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, where I was going, you can return from injury and recover from injury a lot easier at 25.
Yes.
When you're 31, you better be disciplined. You better be taking care of yourself. You better be doing everything you possibly can, and none of that includes condoms.
Yes. And he doesn't use them. But I've covered him since he entered the league. I was literally doing draft coverage the night he was drafted. Is that very unusual the way he was reacting? Like
yes.
I don't know if he's
like laughing.
He's got to be the toughest son of a bitch in America, right? That injury, the way that looked, my man,
clapping, smiling at the crowd.
Did he say thank God? Like it was like, and he's on the phone and he's getting in the wheelchair. They're trying to get him, and clearly we see he has to have somebody holding his leg. At all times. Ugh. And this dude just on his phone, man. He's just chilling. Like, what is he, Wolverine? Like, does he not feel pain?
He was regenerating.
It was amazing. Right afterwards, like, it was.
Yeah. No, it threw me off immediately.
I was like, hey, man, what the hell's wrong with Tyreek, man? He on that good stuff.
Well, that's a trick question.
Yeah, we better go to break. Because they're going to get
you. Speculate and recollate.
All right, the Texans had a great fourth quarter, not just because from a Texans point of view, they had a great fourth quarter. Did that fourth quarter Sunday against the Titans, did that fourth quarter get you to a place where you're starting to believe, all right, I can see a potential playoff run being made by this team? We'll discuss that.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Texans had a hell of a fourth quarter. In that fourth quarter in Sunday's game against, yes, the Tennessee Titans, and I think you take that all into account, they outscored the Titans 20-0. Got a turnover in that quarter from Derek Stingley. C.J. Stroud had two touchdown passes, including changing to a play in which he saw the matchup that he wanted, and then they were able to execute that for a chunk play over 20 yards for a touchdown to Higgins. Woody Marks was sensational throughout the game, but in that fourth quarter, he had a touchdown catch, and he had a touchdown run, and I'll be honest, I don't know that I've seen a Texan, you know, really have a run like that. We've seen Joe Mixon, you know, power through people and run, you know, run and make great cuts, you know, and talking about cutbacks at the line of scrimmage. We've watched Damian Pierce just run away from people with his size and speed. But that cut and move he made, again, on number 18, I'm not sure who he is, but his homeboys have got to be killing him. And then got into the end zone. That was big time. And as I sit there, Higgins got involved with the chunk play there. A big time fourth quarter. And I throw this out to you and the people, 713-572-4610. You can text in your thoughts, YouTube and Twitch. Did they find something enough for you? Because I think they found something. Did they find something in that fourth quarter that gives you maybe a new level of belief that this team can make a run in a playoff, make a run to the playoffs?
No. Not when you couch it like that. I mean, this game in no way, shape, or form moved the needle for confidence in the offense, confidence in this team's ability to win the division. Confidence in this team's ability to get in the playoffs and compete with the top teams in the AFC or even the NFC. No, I mean, it just didn't. Are there some things that I hope transition? And if I see them transition into Baltimore this week, yeah, maybe we can have that conversation. But right now, I think the offense pushed that defensive line around, with the exception of Simmons a couple of times. I think the pass rush was suspect. I think the pass coverage was suspect. I think it was a good day to go out and beat up on a very, very piss-poor football team, and the Texans did that, and it took them four quarters to do it. So, no, it didn't move my needle much at all, no. It didn't move my needle at all relative to beating playoff-caliber teams.
Text line coming through. One good quarter against an unbelievably bad team is not enough to convince me that the Texans can compete for a playoff spot. Another text, they gave me enough to hold my interest till next week with a loss to the Titans. I was done for the season, but playoffs, hell no.
I like that. I like that one right there. You held my interest. You held me on for one more week of this Nick Caley project of can this thing work? That is exactly what you did, right? I was just about out on the Nick Caley project. I was just about out on the trying to be New England 2005 or whatever the hell it was. I think this keeps me around a little bit longer, but playoffs, nah.
Yeah,
I'm with that one.
Text line, it took until the fourth quarter against the Titans to find it on offense. No, I'm not buying it. All right, this is what I would say for me. I think they found something potentially in the fourth quarter. Do I believe they're going to make the playoffs? I'm not ready to say that yet. Because walking into the game 0-3, you know, then seeing, all right, you got the Ravens still left. You got at Ravens, at Chiefs still left. You know, you got at Colts. You got the Colts twice. You're trying to figure out, all right, you know, playoffs is 9, probably 10 games you feel comfortable with. And you start looking, and it's like, well, I don't know. I think they found it because, to me, Clint, with that offense in the fourth quarter, they are going to win a lot of games with their defense. Right? We've talked about their offense doesn't need to be what CJ's offense was their rookie year, where he led the league in passing yards per game, and they were able to score points, and that was one of the strengths of their teams. I don't think it has to be that. But I look at it and I think, do I believe that this stuff was flukish? And I don't know that it was flukish or just because it was the Titans, right? Like, I think Woody Marks is going to work. I think Woody Marks was a big thing that happened in that fourth quarter. I think they literally and absolutely found something with Woody Marks, receiving and running the football. I think that works. Higgins getting behind the defense. I think that is something that works. All right, I think what we saw from C.J. Stroud getting more comfortable in the decisions that he was making throughout the game, and it paid off in the fourth quarter, I believe that is real, right? I don't think a lot of what we saw them put together in the fourth quarter are things that aren't able to be replicated, right? I think Woody Marks can be replicated. I think what C.J. did with Higgins can be replicated, and then obviously we know Nico is lurking in there. So I think there is a belief for me, even especially within this AFC, that they can at least put themselves to be in contention for a playoff spot in a way that I didn't believe before. Because I think those things are sustainable and things that they can replicate again.
Yeah, I think it's what they want to do. I think they hope it's sustainable. I think they hope that it is something that they can duplicate. I'm not ready to say that this offensive line can create that level of space for Woody Marks to be that good versus playoff caliber opponents. I'm not ready to say that Higgins is going to run a slot fade against a playoff caliber defense and it's going to be that easy. I'm not ready to say that playoff caliber defenses aren't going to be able to lock down that underneath stuff and take it away and force CJ to hold it and then apply pressure. You know, those are all the things. I think it's what they want to look like. I think it's what they hope it looks like. I think it's a good I think for us, it's a good dry run of like, that's what we're looking for. That's what you hope this offense looks like. That's what you hope. That's the brand of quarterback that you hope C.J. Stroud plays moving forward. I can't look at that Titans team and take them serious.
No, the opponent is very fair. That's why for me, it's not even the opponent. Is that real?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Is that real? And again, if you look at their previous games, right? Like when D'Amico says that we're close, I thought that was all garbage. Because they were close on the scoreboard. It almost felt like the other team was helping them get close. But offensively, they weren't close to anything. In that game, and particularly in that fourth quarter, like I didn't think they had really had any. They had shown to have any of that in their bag, right? Like Woody Marks is showing, hey, I don't have to have it all blocked perfect for me to be able to get plays, right? I can win one-on-one matchups in the passing game. And obviously, we know what Nico is able to do. So, I think they hadn't shown they had any of that in the bag, and for them to do that, I think it's something to build on. Again, I'm not saying now. I'm telling you, they're going to the playoffs. But my thought of them having the ability to contend for that, for a playoff spot, I do have a different level of belief after that fourth quarter coming up. As we continue, I know Clint did a little tape drop Tuesday. Mm. The offensive line, that's been the number one thing we've been watching, as he just talked about, his confidence in the offensive line. I know his confidence in this group would change a lot if that offensive line could play the way they did against the Titans the rest of the way. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from maybe the O-line's best performance.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the season. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through. You're drinking the Kool-Aid too early, show. Maybe. Again, I guess it kind of reminds me of CJ's rookie year. You remember the second half against the Colts? And it seemed like at that point, with Slowick and them, they kind of found, like, all right, hey, maybe we're settling in. This is who we are. And they kind of unleashed CJ and let him do his thing, and kind of they lost the game, but they seemed to find something in that second half against the Colts a couple of years back. And I don't think at the time we thought anything of it. We're like, well, hell, they're 0-2. And then they went to Jacksonville and beat the Jags pretty good, who was the favorite to win the division at that time. I'm not saying they're going to replicate that and go on to the playoffs. I'm just saying from what we were watching before that quarter, held the game, but really that quarter, we saw explosives. We didn't see that unless the Jags accidentally gave it to you. We saw real success in the run game, right? We saw tight end usage. We saw CJ at his best. I think maybe they found something. Now, did they find something to it enough with their schedule and the hole they dug to get them there? We will see. Not sure. But I compare it to that. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Linebacker EJ Speed will join the fellas, as well as, we just talked about it, wide receiver Jalen Higgins. Jaden Higgins, he just got his first touchdown catch. He will also join the Phillips tonight. So stay tuned for that. Higgins and EJ Speed coming up after us on Texans All Access. And then your favorite sports night show is back. Area 45. They get going at 8 p.m. And they
be
go into
with Creighton tonight.
There you go. And they go to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago. They will hold it down coming up here after the fellas get done with Texans All Access. So stay tuned for that. If you missed it, now you may be coming in a little bit late, but there are two games left. If you haven't gotten already, Tyler did his best bets. He did a couple on the Yankees-Red Sox game, and then he did a couple on the Reds-Dodgers game. That has not started yet, but you can go to at T-Mill Real Deal to find T-Mill's best bets. All right, you did a little tape drop. It dropped, and I know you checked out the film. And still, up to this point, the offensive line is still a big problem, right? Everything that I said about them finding it means nothing if, you know, they go back to struggling. What did you see when you watched the film on the offensive line from the game?
Big focal point, the offensive line. Before I get there, Ron, real quick, I do want to say to your point of what this game means, and this doesn't change my, you know, my belief and whether this game moved my needle or not relative to the playoffs, but I do want to emphasize, you know, per my studies here, my tape drop Tuesday, I do want to emphasize that this, yes, they scored 6 points in the first three quarters. But if you watch the film, there were opportunities to put more points on the board. C.J. Stroud missed Dalton Schultz with a throw one time. He missed Dalton Schultz with a read. One was a touchdown. One was at least a chunk play. They missed a field goal. So there were a lot of points left on the field. And I only say that to say Nick Caley was dialing some things up that should have resulted in points, more points, more consistently, not just the fourth quarter. So take that for what you will. Make of it what you will. That's fine, but I do want to emphasize that relative to having watched the tape. Now, the O-line, Ron, the O-line was really good, and I do think this is promising. The double teams actually got push, which is why you saw a lot of the space that Woody Marks was getting up to the second level. Woody Marks was getting to the line of scrimmage with some space. Even Nick Chubb was getting to the line of scrimmage with some space. The double teams, I think, really stood out. I think the offensive line, like literally moving people instead of just shielding defenders, I think worked out in a major, major way. And it made it easier for the O-line when they got to the second level. They took one step and they were in the lap of the linebackers versus trying to get out and then block smaller defenders in space when they did get off of double teams. The double teams were noticeably better. I thought they handled 98. Simmons, he's one of the best in the league, best interior defensive lineman in the league. There were a couple of plays when he just flat out beat him one-on-one. One of them that everybody remembers, the quickest sack in 2 years or whatever it was. The right guard went right, the center went left, and they just parted right there for the quarterback. It was a mess up by, I believe, Ed Ingram that allowed that. That was not a oh my gosh, man, oh man, somebody just got whooped. But to keep 98 from just wrecking the game, even with the quick game approach that they had, to me was a big-time accomplishment. That's the first time that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ron, but from an interior perspective, he's by far the best guy they've seen, right? I mean, Armstead's pretty good in Jacksonville. Yeah,
Armstead would be.
But he's the one that, for four quarters, has the ability to wreck a game. He's in his prime. I thought they handled him well and didn't allow him to wreck the game and cause a bunch of disruption and create a bunch of chaos in the backfield. He got to him a couple times, no doubt about it, but I was impressed, man. I thought the offensive line showed some promise. Again, I'm blown away every week when I watch film of how the lack of physicality with the offensive line play. Now, I don't study other teams the way I study the Texans, so I don't know if it's the league or if it's just the Texans. But I can't really describe it without just being really critical. Like, there is very little effort put into, all right, me and you, Ron, we're going to get shoulder to shoulder and we're going to move this other guy back. It looks like we're just going to hold this guy off. We're just going to hold this guy off like we're guarding the front door of a bar or something. And then I'm going to try to get off to this quicker linebacker that's got a running start and a two-way go on me. That's what it's looked like a lot of the time. This was one where guys were literally, you could tell by the effort that they were giving and the violence that they were using at times, that they were trying to move that D lineman, put him in the lap of the linebacker, and then peeling off on the linebacker and really really doing a good job there. So I just thought overall the offensive line, and when I say O-line, I mean tight ends as well. I thought the tight ends did a good job. Now, this is a much more blockable group than most teams you play, but I thought they handled it well.
I think the two things that I was seeing a lot from people about the Texans offensive line going to this game is, what does Ariante Ursary look like in this game? I would say maybe the mere fact that you didn't hear about him a lot is a terrific sign of how he played. And so people, I think, were wondering about what he looked like, 79 looked like on the left side after his tough game. And then what should we make of this rotation they're doing at the left guard spot? And has Juice Scruggs done enough to go ahead and take the thing over from Lake and Tomlin? Those are the two things with the O-line.
I really don't know if that's what they want to happen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the end game is for D'Amico and Nick and Nick Cayley, that is, at that left guard position.
Surely they want to just get somebody to take it, right?
I don't think it's a competition. I think it's a we want to keep an extra interior offensive lineman ready to play and get in action and engaged in what we're doing and learning the system. I can't for the life of me think that they're letting a competition literally play out on Sundays in front of C.J. Stroud. Like, that's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I got to believe there's a different method to that madness. I could be wrong. Hell, I probably am wrong. But I've told myself multiple times that surely these guys on Nick Cayley's watch, first time play calling, they're not going, hey, by the way, let's get an extra guard in the rotation here.
Let's let a
competition. We can't decide who our best left guard is. Let's let these guys fight it out on game day. Like, that just doesn't.
It doesn't look like, all right, hey, you got the first two series, Lakin, you get the next one, and then we'll see who's the best. It feels like they're doing that.
That can't be. But, I don't know, Ron. I think both of those guys, look, I mean, Simmons did Olay Scruggs one time.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. He was,
you know, there was a couple of times.
Power was coming, and then he's.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple times that he got, and so I don't know, man. I think it's six one way, half a dozen another. If you really want to talk about these guys' play, I think they're both pretty impressive when they get engaged in a run game and they can move guys. I think, but their misses are just brutal misses, and if they come at the wrong time, it can win or lose a game ultimately. So I don't know what's going on at that left guard position.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. And Ursary. Yeah. Again, we didn't hear a lot from him, so I think that sounds. And they don't. That's a team that doesn't.
But let's be honest. I mean, Ursary is a guy that when you watch him play, there's a lot of thinking. There's some tiptoeing around. There's some not real sure of who he has and when he's supposed to have him. But I mean that he's the one you expect that from. Right, he's the one that things are moving really fast for right now. And so, me personally, when I watch film, I don't watch it with a critical eye of Ursary going, boy, you're screwed this up. Or, man, what is that step? Or who do you have? Like, that's the least of my concerns right now. My concern with Ursary is the game plan. Does it start with, we are always going to have multiple answers to help our left tackle if he gets in trouble?
That's
all I'm concerned about with Ursary.
But they did play. There were a couple of misses, and you're going to have some, and Jeffrey Simmons is going to get certain people. But all in all, I think they played pretty well.
Stay plugged in tomorrow. We got D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud meeting with the media, as well as I do have a couple of concerns, Ron, from my tape drop Tuesday that I'll bring you on the What You Worried About Wednesday.
Oh, boy. All right.
Drive.
There's a 24-hour tease right
there. Come on.
There it is. I guess probably not 24, but maybe a 20-hour tease.
There you go. Do the math. Do the math.
There it is. We can do it quick. So there it is, Clint. Great job. Tyler, great job. Also, we'll have Cecil Shorts the Third tomorrow. B. Scott tomorrow. A little Texans report as we continue to roll through. I am Ron, the show. Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
About to come right up underneath your chin with some heat.
I mean, why?
Gonna go Nolan Ryan on your ass.
Where does he come?
I mean, I was nervous the whole
way. High heater. What made y'all nervous?
I was nervous the whole way.
I mean, there ain't no way you didn't do that on purpose, and there's no way that you don't know what the hell.
I really don't know what I just said that made you nervous. Go back and listen to it.
Hopefully you've got the Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature. I mean, you're disgusting.
What? I didn't do anything.
I mean, it's too much. It's too much.
Coming up now.
Hey. He is nasty.
Just one look at you.
Mix is all nervous.